Genesis chapter 8. As I was asking the Lord what to share tonight, the message that I had prepared, I decided to wait for at least another week. And the Lord reminded me of this message that I preached years ago that I think can be an encouragement to us. I've entitled the message, God Remembered Noah. God Remembered Noah. Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 1 is at the end of the flood. Genesis 8 and verse number 1 says, And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested the seventh month and the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, in the tenth month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the windows of the ark, which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And that he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, and which returned not again unto him. And it came to pass after in the 600th and first year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, in the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And bring forth with thee every living thing that is in with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And they that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, and every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind, went forth out of the ark. We'll stop there for tonight. But the thought that I want us to focus our attention on here tonight is that first phrase, and God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. I don't know if you've ever been forgotten before, but years ago, when I was still in Papua New Guinea, my coworker and I took a helicopter and we went into a very, very remote area of the mountains. And we were there for a week, and we made arrangements with the pilot that he was going to come back on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock and pick us back up. And Saturday morning we were out there waiting. The sky was clear, no sign of anybody. And we waited and waited and waited. And at 9:30 the clouds were starting to come in. And once the clouds come in, it was too late. He couldn't get in, because he couldn't be able to know where the mountains were. And so the clouds were starting to come in, and just as the clouds were just about ready to cover over, we hear this, here comes the helicopter. Just made it just in time. Well, we thought we'd been forgotten. We thought he'd forgot all about us and forgot to come pick us up. And I don't remember now the details of why he was late. But we felt like we were forgotten. And Noah, as he was in that ark, you know, I don't know whether God told Noah how long he's going to be in that ark. I don't think he did. God said, get in this ark, we're going to build this ark, I'm going to send this flood. And the waters were on the earth for over a year. And you can imagine after a few months that Noah's thinking, when's this going to be over? When are we going to be out of here? And the boat was, you know, we don't know how much the boat pitched and turned, but the waters of the flood were very, very violent. They weren't just a little waves here and there. They were violent waves. And whether God allowed the area right around the boat. I mean, God could have done a miracle and caused this, so the area right around the boat was a calm, like in the center of a hurricane. It's possible. We don't know what God did. But whatever it was, by the end of several months, Noah and his family were probably thinking, Lord, is this thing ever going to end? Are we ever going to get out of here? And once it calmed down, the storm lasted for about 6 months, and it took another 6 months before the waters left the earth. And so there was a long time there. They were waiting for God, and the thoughts must have come to his mind, did God forget us? Did God forget us? Are we ever going to get out of this thing? And, you know, if we are a child of God, we need to realize that God will not forget us. And this verse here is a reminder of that. God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. And in the middle of our trials, in the middle of our troubles, in the middle of our sicknesses and all of these things that we go through, God remembered Noah, and God will remember us. God will not forget us. God will not desert us. God will not leave us abandoned in the middle of our troubles and our problems. And so tonight I want to encourage your hearts as we look at this, and I want us to notice how God remembered Noah. You know, it's one thing to just say, yes, God remembered Noah, but how did God remember Noah? I want us to notice three ways in which God remembered Noah. The first way, God remembered Noah by providence. Providence. Now, providence is a big word that we don't use all that often, but providence describes divine guidance or care. God reached down with his divine hand and took care of Noah. It was a miracle. God was protecting him by providence, by a miracle, meeting his needs. And we see that God providentially protected Noah during the prevailing of the flood. Chapter 7, verse number 24. Look at that verse. It says, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now, prevail, the word prevail means to churn. The best way I can describe it is if you have a top-loading washing machine, you look in there when lift the lid while it's going, and it's swooshing back and forth and back and forth. That is prevailing. It is wild. It is churning. And the waters were churning and whipping and destroying everything for 150 days. That's why we find the evidence of the flood so remarkable. The whole ground was changed. The dirt was swept up. The oceans burst forth with the waters. Waters gushing into the sky as the waters were gushing out of the ground and eroding the ocean floors and shooting that dirt into the air, and it's coming down and laying sediment all over the planet, all over the whole globe, and all of this. And then the waters were, at the end where the waters were abating, they were rushing into the oceans. Then there's all the wash off of this. And that's why we see, even in here in Australia, places like Ayers Rock and go up north, the Pinnacles and things like that, where there's massive stone things that are sticking way up in the air. All the dirt was that high at one point. And when the floodwaters washed off, it washed off everything but left some pieces here and there. So you got the big old Ayers Rock sticking way up in the air because the waters washed off the dirt around it. And the Pinnacles, all the dirt washed around them. And the cliffs and the bluffs and all of these kind of things. It's the places where the water washed off. And God miraculously brought the whole oceans were filled up as the waters ran off of the continents and eroded canyons and eroded the flat areas, and there's lots of different kinds of erosion that took place. But God did all this, and during this time the waters were prevailing upon the earth. And one of the great blessings is that God's children can enjoy is God's providence during his trials. When God brings a trouble into our lives, family problems, job problems, health problems, whatever the problem is, God is still sovereign. And God will still take care of us. God will protect us. God will meet our needs. And God will provide for us. But we need to just wait on the Lord. And though we are not exempt from trials, God comforts those of us who know him as our Savior. And so God's providence was seen during the prevailing of the flood. We also see that God's providence was seen during the longevity of the flood, the length of the flood. God protected him and helped him endure a whole year in that flood. Can you imagine being in a boat for a year? I can't imagine being in a boat for 10 minutes. I get seasick. But in a boat for a whole year, and with all those animals, And I mean, no matter how you want to look at it, those animals must have smelled pretty bad by the time the year was done. All right? Crowded into that boat. You got all these birds and the reptiles and the, you know, it's a big, huge zoo on this boat. And Noah and his family are there living with all these animals. And even if God put them into somewhat of a hibernation state, that still is a lot of animals there. It would not have been a pleasant thing. It would have been, but God kept him safe. God kept him physically strong. God kept him mentally strong. And they were fine. God met their needs during this time of this long flood. We see also that God's providence in the landing of the ark. You ever think about that? What if the ark would have landed on the top of Mount Everest? Got a hard time getting down. What if it would have landed on an Arctic glacier? A bit cold when you step out of the boat. Right? But God had them land on Mount Ararat, not very far from where they began. And we see God's hand of protection in all this. Now, whether God kept that boat in that general area the whole time, or whether God let them float around the world and came back to that spot, we don't know. But we know that God protected them, and God met their needs, and God provided for them. And God's providence was in all of that. And we see, again, the same thing different times throughout the Bible. Another example, remember with the people of Israel, when God took them out of Egypt. Remember the shortcut, they could have made it to Israel in 11 days. But going the shortcut, they would have gone through Philistia. And they would have had to fight with the Philistines. God said, no, I don't want them to do that. They're going to get discouraged. So God sent them the long way. They went down to the Sinai Peninsula and around the Sinai Peninsula and back up. And it wouldn't have taken them 40 years, but it would have taken them quite a while to go down around that way. But God did it because he cared for them and he had a plan for them. And God would show them his power and his might and taking them across the Red Sea without them losing their lives. But then to see all their enemies drowned in the Red Sea, God had a plan. And all of these things that looked like problems and looked like troubles, God was using for their good. And sometimes God can do the same thing in our lives. As Christians, God deeply cares about us and our needs. That's why God tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. And then the verse that's hand in hand with that is Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God cares about us. He loves us. He will meet our needs. And we need to just trust him and rest him during those times of trials. So we see, first of all, that God remembered Noah by his providence. But also, secondly, God remembered Noah by his provision. His provision. We see God provided dry land. What if the world would have stayed under flood? What if it would have all been flood for the rest of the time? There wouldn't have even been a place for them to get out and onto the dry land. But God, in a mighty way, I think this is one of the coolest things about the flood, is sometimes people say, where'd all the water go? God, I don't know whether he reached down with his hand or just said it, but he pushed the oceans down. Settled down those oceans bottoms, which weren't there before, pushed them down to the depths that they are now, and the waters ran off of the continents and rushed into those oceans and filled up the oceans, and dry land appeared. And God did all that because he was remembering Noah. For nearly a half a year, the waters churned, but then God spent another half a year causing the waters to rescend or to pour off of the continents and fill up these ocean basins. And we see the power of God. And then when the oceans went down, we know from what we've studied and from what we can see, one of the things that always fascinates me is you see the strata layers of the mountains that are pushing upward. And some of them are rippled. You know, looks like, you know, stripes that are twisted. And all that solid rock. How did it happen? It happened when it was still wet, still soft. And God, as he pushed down the ocean beds, and it pushed out the continents, and the continents, as they pushed in, you see where all the mountains are. The mountains are along the edges of the continents because the waters were pushing out and pushing the continents apart, and the land buckled. And as the land buckled, the mountains squirted up in the midst of it, and all the soft layers went upward. And God did all those marvelous things. And he did that all because he was caring for Noah, his provision. And the dry land appeared to be able to sustain food and life again. And so we see God was caring for him. We see also God providing from by a welcome relief from the ark, you know, to be able to get out of that boat after 1 year and 11 days of being in the ark. God let them out. They were able to get out again, get out in the fresh air again. And no more rain, no more storm, no more bobbing around in the boat. God provided for them in this marvelous way. We find also that God also provided a fresh new start and a new beginning. As they got out and they were out into the new world, and God caused the seeds to begin to sprout and the plants to grow, and the land was flourishing again. The plant life had a new beginning. The animals began to multiply as he let them out of the ark, and they multiplied and replenished the earth abundantly. And God provided through that. Also, Noah's family were very prolific. They had lots of children and multiplied, and the human race began to multiply again. So God was giving the human race a new start. You know, even after severe trials, God often gives us a type of a new beginning. If you've been through some deep waters, some hard trials, many times we see afterwards, as we look back, we see how God has provided, met needs, encouraged, given us things that we needed to know. And you know, even when we've made mistakes, many times God will help us to learn from those mistakes so that later on we can be a help and a blessing to others. And we can go through trials and we think, why am I going through this trial? But then later on, we meet somebody else that went through a similar trial, and we can say, now I understand. I understand, and I can be a comfort and an encouragement to somebody else because they've gone through that trial. And we must leave the mistakes of the past behind and look to the fresh new future. You know, Paul, when he was writing, I'm not sure what he was all referring to. Perhaps he was referring to his failures and things that he had done that he regretted. But he said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13 and 14, he said, brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm not looking back at what I've done in the past, whether it be problems or things that maybe even victories that he had. He said, I'm not looking at that and getting my strengths from that. But he said, I'm looking forward. I'm pressing toward the mark. And you know, we each one need to just keep our eyes on the Lord and remember to look forward to what God has for us. And say, God, teach me what you want me to know. And the scars from the flood remind us of God's judgment today. You know, think with me. What were some of the scars from the flood? What are some of the scars from the flood? Anybody know? What's a scar from the flood? You all know what they are. What are the scars? Fossils are one of the scars from the flood. We've got canyons. We've got stratolayers. We've got the mountains that are squirted up. All the there's. What else? Any others? The oil. What else goes with the oil? The coal. You got the coal and the oil. All of these are results from the flood. They're scars from the flood. And why did God give us? It's evidence that God did something marvelous. And the, you know, the scientists, all their silly ideas of evolutionary ideas of how the oil and the coal formed don't make any sense. It had to have been buried rapidly, and there had to have been masses of vegetation and masses of animals that were buried in order to get that much oil and that much coal. I mean, not just a little bit. It's beyond our imagination. And it had to be in a flood situation where, in a flood, many times you look at it, even in a little local flood or the water rushing up, the dirt piles up, all the debris and piles. And same thing on a global scale, as the debris of all the dead animals and all the piles and piles and piles of vegetation, because most of the world was covered with vegetation before the flood. And so all this huge piles of vegetation, and then crushed by the massive tidal waves and things of that nature that were taking place during the flood and burying all this stuff and turning it into coal. It's just fascinating and amazing. And you all have heard of, you know, some of those things, and you've watched Kent Hovind and some of those other ones, and you see the things that they found in the coal and in the gold chains and bells and things like that that the scientists say, we don't know where that happened. How did that happen? We don't know. Right? But it was because it was part of civilization. And it was all washed into the piles and crushed into the coal. And just marvelous things that God gives us as evidence of His provision during the flood. And you know, many times when we have gone through trials, maybe we've made mistakes, we've done things we shouldn't have done, but the scars can be memorial of the providence of God. God, help me through that. God, help me through that trial. And it also will serve to help us to keep from backsliding again. You know, you think about when you've made a mistake or you've done things you shouldn't do and you've learned from it, and God reminds you of that. And every time it's a reminder, don't do that again. That was a fool thing to do. Don't do that again. And God can use those things in our lives to help us. And it reminds me of that short little verse in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. It says, remember Lot's wife. Why would God put that in the Bible? Remember Lot's wife. Well, what did Lot's wife do? She turned around and looked back when God said don't, and turned into a pillar of salt. And then God put a verse in the Bible just for us saying, remember Lot's wife. Don't disobey God. Because if you disobey God, there's consequences for that. And every time, you know, you look back in the things that you've done that you regret, and God's helped you through some trials or whatever it's been, you can look back and say, remember that trial. Remember that mistake. Remember that foolish thing I did. And don't do it again. Don't do it again. But many times, if we don't remember history, what happens? We're bound to repeat it. We'll go right back and do the same thing again. But we need to remember, just like God said, remember Lot's wife. Don't forget the failures so that you can avoid doing them again. And so God remembered Noah through providence. He remembered Noah through provision. And number three, he remembered Noah through a promise. He promised. God sympathetically promised never, ever to destroy the human race with a flood again. He'd never destroy the human race with a flood again. Now, it doesn't mean there's not going to be destruction. There's going to be destruction in the end, but not through a flood. And God gave them a sign. Philip told us what that was earlier. That sign was the rainbow. The rainbow. God put that beautiful rainbow in the sky as a reminder that God would never send another global flood to destroy the world. And that reminder from God, every time we see that beautiful rainbow in the sky, just the other day, a few weeks back now, I don't remember, it was in the morning time, I think, and I looked outside and there's this huge rainbow. And I mean, an absolute full rainbow. I couldn't back up far enough to get a picture of the whole thing, so I had to take double pictures of it. But a complete rainbow and a double above it. It's amazing the things that God has provided for this. Now, God does not enjoy punishing His people for sin. But God reminds us that He won't do that again like He did. God does not get enjoyment from that. In fact, we find that God willingly gave of His Son to die for us, to protect us from judgment. That's why we read in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want us to perish. God doesn't want anybody to perish. That's why He's waiting and putting off judgment as long as possible to be able to let more people be saved. But we find also that God lovingly promised a consistent seasons after the flood. You know, before the flood, evidently there was no seasons like we have them today. They lived in a global greenhouse. And in a greenhouse, you don't have heat and cold. It's consistent. You don't have the summer and winter and the planting time and harvest like we do outside of a greenhouse. And so now, for the first time in history, there's no longer a vapor canopy over the world. They're no longer in a global greenhouse. And now God says that there's going to be planting and harvest. Verse number 22 of chapter 8 says this. It says, "And while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, night and day shall not cease." You know, up to this point there had been night and day, but there hadn't been the cold and the winter. There wasn't the heat and the cold. There wasn't the planting and the harvest. And so it had been a global, but God says from this point on, that's the way it's going to be. So that every time you think about that, every time, you know, we have a cold day and a warm day, and we have winter and we have summer, and we have the seasons changing, that's a reminder again of the flood, a reminder again of God's judgment upon the earth and how that God will take care of us. God took care of Noah. God will take care of us just like He did Noah. So there was the promise of consistent seasons. And God also gives Christians a promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, a great verse that all of us need to memorize. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." 1 Corinthians 10:13. God said, no matter what trial or temptation, and that temptation there could be one of either kind. It could be a trial or just a problem or a temptation to sin. There will never be a temptation that we face that will be so great that we cannot endure. God promises to give us a way out, an escape. God lovingly promises to give us strength. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul said that he was confident that he could endure all things through Christ. God will give us strength. God also told Paul, a verse that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9, when Paul was praying about his trial, his thorn in the flesh, God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, "I will rather glory in my infirmities as the power of Christ may rest upon me." God said His grace was sufficient, for His strength was made perfect in weakness. So there's strength in what the Lord provides for us. And so as we think about these things tonight, the trials of life, the problems we face, sometimes they're huge problems. Sometimes they're small problems. But whatever they are, Noah faced a problem bigger than any of us have ever faced. He was living on a boat with all those thousands of animals for a length of time that he had no idea how long it would last. And the only assurance that he had that he would even make it through this storm was that God told him to build the ark. And thoughts must have gone through his mind, "I hope we built this thing strong enough." As he felt the winds blowing and the waves churning and the boat going up and down, you know, "I hope this thing holds together." You know, all those kind of thoughts must have gone through his mind. And God provided for Noah. God said He remembered Noah. And if God remembered Noah, you know, every time you see that verse in Genesis 8 and verse 1, remember this. When it says God remembered Noah, remember this. God will always remember you. God will remember us with His providential protection. God will remember us with His provision to take care of us. God will remember us with His promise that He's given, that He'll never give us a trial or a burden that is greater than we can bear. God will not forget us. And I trust that this can be an encouragement to you as each of us go through trials and problems and heartaches, that God won't forget us, that we need to stay close to God. God will take care of us. God doesn't always tell us how. God doesn't always tell us how long. But God promises to take care of us if we'll rest in Him.